How well do we know ourselves? Is tonight's Bible study. Well, hopefully, by the time we get through this study, we'll know ourselves a little bit better. But first, we're going to start the main focus of our study is verses through 7:15 through 23. But I want to go through 1 through 6 first. Just to bring us up to speed with Paul here, okay? Now, I want you guys to know that this is Paul's self-diagnosis of himself. So if you guys hear some nervousness in my voice, that's what it is, okay? It is nervousness because I know what this anointing feels like, and I do fear my God. And I know that if I do not teach you correctly, that I will suffer a greater punishment, so... I no pressure at all, but that's what my Lord tells me. So, anyway, to bring us up to speed with Paul, Paul starts in verse 1 through 6. He uses the metaphor, metaphorically teaching us right now on how we are set free from the law of God, and he uses the metaphor that between a marriage between a man and a woman, okay, and that's how he's teaching us. And as if the man dies or if the woman dies, the man or the woman is released from the law of the marriage, okay? And he goes down into verse 4. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." So we've died to the law. So we can bear fruit, okay? Now, if you have any questions at any time, go ahead and ask it. Or if you want to add something to it, please feel free, okay? Go ahead, Rudy. Well, some still practice it word for word. But here I believe Paul is not talking about the Mosaic law, all of it completely, but the Ten Commandments, as we'll see a little bit later. But there are 216 laws. I believe that's what's been counted, at least 216 laws. And the Lord knows that we can't keep them because he says if we break one, we've broken them all. So, see, he knows we can. So that's why he's released us from the law, and now we are joined with Christ in a marriage scenario or type situation so we can bear fruit for God. And we know what that fruit is, okay? Is through Jesus, is that union that we now have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can get away from the law, to be burdened by it, or to, like you said, they use it to control. Well, it's not supposed to be used that way. The law is an individual thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's internalized.
Yes, it is internalized. Right, yeah. That is, but now, and we're going to get to that when we get over here in the main part of the study here. You'll see something that's quite unique and quite different. So let's go on. Yes, go ahead. Huh? The fruit. Yes, it is. Yes. No. We can go to it right now. Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn to there and read that. Okay. The fruit. We're producing fruit for God. Okay. Yes, go ahead. And there's one more. I'm not too many people know about that. We're not to challenge one another. Okay? If you go on, I think if you read the next verse or next two verses.
And those who were Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires.
Mm-hmm.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another version says we are not to challenge one another in the word. Okay, our love doesn't need to be doing that. We just do not need to be doing that to one another. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like to be challenged by another brother. But anyway, let's go on here. So we know now that we are joined with Christ. We are married to him. And verse 5 says, "For while we were in the flesh, this sinful passion, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. See, that's the old. That's the old. Okay? But now we have been released from the law, that's verse 6, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. So you got that? Okay. And then Paul goes on and through verses 7 through 14, and he kind of relates to us on how the law works within us, how it actually works, and he just tells us how. It's pretty neat the way this works. In verses 7 to 8, Paul tells us that the law takes away our ignorance of sin. So if somebody will read that, please, 7 and 8. Yeah. Yeah. Did you catch what Paul was telling? So why? Why did the Lord say the law would open our eyes to sin? What was the reason for it? We know that we're sinful, and we know that we're what? What? Go ahead. So we would come to Christ. It's the only way that we could get away from our sinful nature. Go ahead. Right. But the only way that we came to Christ is because we realized that we are sinful.
Right.
And we needed Christ in our life to get us out of this sinful nature.
And we know we can't keep these.
No, we do know. We do know that. So, but look at verse 9. The law resurrects our sinful desires. Did you see that? He says, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. So it resurrected our sinful nature, the law did, to show us that we do need a Savior. Okay? Look at 10 and 11. The law demands a penalty of death. Will someone read that, please? 10 and 11. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. So the law demands a penalty of death. And that death, of course, is the total separation from our Heavenly Father. That's what that death he's talking about there. In verse 12, the law shows us God's character. So then the law is holy. And the commandment is holy and righteous and good. There's our Heavenly Father. Okay? There he is right there. That's his character. Right? Look at verse 13. The law reminds us of how terrible sin is. Someone read that, please. So the law tells us that how terrible sin is. Okay. And in verse 14, the law reveals my carnality and also lets me know that I need a Savior. There is no doubt I need a Savior. Okay. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a flesh, sold into bondage to sin. let's go to Romans 3, 9 through 20. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Did you notice the main thrust of that was what comes out of our mouth? I'm sorry, Jerry, I know you don't like this part. But anyway, we curse our Heavenly Father, and there's nothing that we can do to justify ourselves. You've heard it said that turning over a new leaf or making a New Year's resolution and all this other stuff is going to help you get closer to God or get you through things. It doesn't. It doesn't.
But I'm a good person.
I know you're not. I know it. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, are you getting a little bit of understanding about sin? Okay. And what God's law does do for us? Okay. It does open our eyes and tells us that we do need a sinner. So the law is good, and don't let anybody tell you that it's not. God's law are good. Okay. So let's get to the main part of our study here. How well do we know ourselves? Okay? We're going to go through verses 15 through 23. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Verses 15 and 19. I'm going to read those. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. And in verse 19, for the good I want to do, or I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. Do you find yourself kind of doing those kind of things? Yeah. So on your sheet of paper, Paul's values are not shown in what he practices. Now, at a time, I've heard it said, and I've heard it taught, that Paul was trying to sanctify himself by the law before he knew Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's one of the reasons that he has written it. I've been taught that, and I have heard that from preachers, so just wanted to share that with you. So are our values what we practice? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, the pastor taught on not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you remember that? And he used a couple of items down here as an examination. Okay, the first one he said, ask yourself if you act in front of others as though you are ashamed of the gospel. Do we act that way in front of others? Okay. So then he goes on, he says, more importantly, ask yourself if your life reflects that Jesus is the Lord of your life, not yourself. Does he? Can, when people see you, do they see the Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Jesus? Or do they see Gary, the one lets those terrible things come out of his mouth? Ask yourself, when was the last time you told others about the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? You know, when he said that Sunday, I remember a time, and it came flooding back to me. This was early in my salvation, as I was making a delivery to a construction yard. This is back when I worked for the oil companies. I was making a delivery to a construction yard, and it was kind of after hours, and I was in the office, and this man was in there, and he just bawling his eyes out because of him and his wife were getting a divorce. And I sensed I should say something to him, but I didn't know the guy. And I sensed that urging to say something, you know, to say something about Jesus, but I didn't. And when the pastor said that, it came flooding back in my life. I remember that my wife will share that, tell you that that's true. I went home and I just bawled my eyes out for not doing it, and begging God to forgive me for not listening to His Holy Spirit, and also saying, "Lord, give me another chance." Well, have you guys done that? Give me another chance, Lord. I really want to tell people about you. Give me that opportunity. Bring people across my path. I've said all those things, and He will. He will give you another chance if we do repent. So let's go on in this. So are our values what we practice? In verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." So Paul's performance does not reveal his desires. And if you notice, I put my... And right underneath that, too, that I had to put me in there, too. Sometimes my performance does not reveal my desire. I mean, I'd rather play golf. I'd rather go fishing, you know. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's where we should be at all times when it comes to spiritual matters. And they're always around us. The spiritual always matters around us. So here's the decision. The next one is 16 through 18a. The decision we face, okay? "But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." Okay, so here's the decision. Decision one, number one, is in verse 16. The principle of the law is validated. It is validated. Okay? Go to Ecclesiastes 7:20, please. You should know this one. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Not one. So that's the principle. It's validated. The law validates that. Okay? In verse 17... We have to face this fact that sin does dwell in me. It does dwell. It has a place in the members of my body. Okay? David said that my sin is ever before me. What was he talking about? He could see his sin. It's his flesh. It's ever there. You can see it. Okay? It's ever there. It's ever present. It's in the flesh. Psalms 51:5, please. No, that's fine. We don't need to go any further than that. So we know that we were conceived in sin. Okay? We were born with it. It's been part of us since our first breath. Okay? Also, Psalms 58:3, please. It's just confirming what Rudy just wrote. You read. You want to go ahead and read that one also, Rudy? No. Go ahead. But we don't do those. I was just going to get to that. We do not do those kind of things. But I will not tell another person about Jesus Christ. Did I just kill that person? I quenched the spirit because that's, you got it. Yeah, I just quenched the spirit. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sin to me. Yeah. It's not to the person. It's sin to me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, so 18a, my flesh has no power. That's what it says right there. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. There's no power in the flesh. I cannot make myself righteous. I cannot sanctify myself. I cannot get to heaven by myself, on my own initiative, on my own power. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. We all know how we get to meet our Heavenly Father, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. But I still want to turn over that new leaf. I want to be good. I still struggle with that. I know that I'm not supposed to steal a candy bar, but there it is. There it is. I want that candy bar. So I have that fight that's going on within me constantly. Yeah. Yeah. So So.
In other words, you've been justified through Christ, but now you're going through sanctification.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I'm being changed.
Is the choices you make
yeah.
in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there comes a time in our life when that candy bar will not taste right. It'll just be sour instead of sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't right. It'll become sour.
Yeah, well, you won't want it no more because of your love for Jesus Christ. Yeah,
right.
Exactly right. That love, just that fruit that we're producing for our Heavenly Father is coming out, finally.
But
and then people... Go ahead. Then the people are seeing, hey, that guy loves it. Look at him. He's changed. All those friends that you had, remember? They just see something different in you. Go ahead, Renee.
The stories that you hear addicts tell, though, it's not necessarily an overnight
Mm-mm.
repulsion to that thing you're
no.
addicted to.
Mm-mm.
But it's the choices that you make every day, every hour sometimes.
And it's kind of a battle, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah. And there's a we're going to get to it in a minute, and there's a reason that it's the battle. We're going to get to it right here in these verses, okay? Go ahead. You know, I've had a prayer before the throne for, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I've had it before the throne for a long, long, long time. And I haven't seen any changes in this area I've been praying about in my life. That desire to do that same thing over and over again is still there, even after all these years of being with the Lord. It's still there. But still yet, my prayer is still there. It's still there. And I know that one of these days, I'll be set free from it.
Right.
It'll be completely gone. I know that that will take place. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a little skirmish.
It is
with me, huh? That sometimes I can overcome it, and sometimes it just gets a hold, you know. So
you can go a long time without 2 years, and now all of a sudden I've got my candy bar.
Right. Yep.
Oh
yeah. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah,
well,
Paul was never released.
I know. But when I pray, I expect results. Now, I'm sorry. I'm going to stick to that. I do expect results. Let's go on, guys. let's go on with this. Yeah, go right ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's back in Galatians 5. I say that walk in the Spirit,
you will not
fill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh.
Yeah.
And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
That's the only way, and you hit it right on the head. That's the only way that we cannot carry out the deeds of the flesh is walking by the Spirit. And what's written in these words? These words are Spirit. And could be. Sure. You know what I say about hemorrhoids? They flare up every once in a while. So anyway, Romans 2:12. You remember that, don't you? Romans 2:12. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Okay. So we can't get away from it. Okay, just like what you were saying, Jerry. So let's go on. So it's like a light just comes on in Paul's head as we read these next verses, 20 through 23. Paul discovers something. And it should be the discovery that we make. There are four laws operating in every believer at all times. Four laws. The first one is the law of God. It's written right there. You see that in verse 20? I mean, let me read. It's out. It's in verse 22. It says, "But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle of that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God. So we have the law of God operating in us. Okay, there's four of them. And in Romans 7, 12, and 14, it says that the law is holy. Okay? And in Psalms 19, 11, the law has a purpose. Okay? And in Psalms 119, 9 through 11, it is powerful. Let's go there. 119, this is good. There we go. The law is powerful. Okay? It does have power. It can get us through those times. And we see in verse 23, the law of the flesh, our members. And I see a different law in the members of my body. Body. Waging war. Catch that now. Waging war. Right? Against what? The law of my mind. There's another law. My mind tells me that I'm a good guy. It does.
Mine doesn't.
My mind tells me that. It tells me I'm good. Okay? But it's waging a war against the law of my flesh is waging a war against the law of my mind. Okay? Notice it desires to do good. My mind, that is. Up here, I can tell myself, I can do that. I can do good. I can please my Heavenly Father. Okay? But I'll stumble every time if I go from the flesh, if I go from up in here. It has to be from here, that love that's deep inside, that love that we've talked about, the fruit of the Spirit. So we see that law working in us, the law of the flesh and the law of the mind. And then another law, in verse 23c, it says, the law of sin. There's another law that's working in us. Did you catch that? Let's read the whole thing. He says, go back to verse 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So it captures us. We're captured by our flesh. No, this is a New American Standard.
You know, so the light bulb went on for him.
Yeah.
He
just saw it right then.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he ends it, you know, thank God. I wondered how long he went before he took that candy bar again.
I don't know.
Because
like with Jerry's. Yeah.
In this flesh.
Right.
And even though, you know, we can know we're saved and everything, that things that we all deal with, the ones or twos, everything. Mm-hmm.
It does.
And
what's the first thing we do?
You
repent. You run to the Lord and you repent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the sign that you truly are doing the best you can.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't give you a right to keep doing it.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. So we have four laws working with it. And this is in every believer. We can't escape it. We have these laws going on in us. And look what Paul says. He says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of this death? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. We all struggle with it. But thanks be to our Heavenly Father that we've been saved from this, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Him. And if we go on, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's 8:1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin of death. See that? For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. End of story. There's where we should be walking it all the time. All the time. So that's pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. So I hope that through that little bit of study right there, you've seen something in yourselves, because that was Paul's self-diagnosis. You know, with this camera, I can take you guys' picture. Smile! And do you think that reflects the true you? No. This camera doesn't lie. Do you? But you're right, it does not. Huh? That's all it shows. It's a flesh, yeah. That's all it shows. It doesn't, you're absolutely, it does not show the true us. Did you know that nature that you see is not reflected as a truth? When you see all of nature out there, okay, it's not what you see. It is. It's under the curse. Go to Romans 8:19 through 21. Just turn a page. And this is my favorite. You guys want to know what my favorite verses are? This is it right here. Okay? For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's us, man. Everything that you see out there is waiting for you. Everything that God made, it's waiting for you guys. Every one of you. So you can take that to the bank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. Father, thank you for these that are here that heard your word. May their eyes be open, Father, to the truth. And it's your truth that reveals and opens our eyes and our hearts, Father, and lets us see you in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for what we have received. May we forever be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.